Nightmares can be vivid, frightening, detailed images that can leave us all in a state of panic and fear after we wake up. You know, most young children experience nightmares an estimated 10 to 50% between the ages of 5 and 12 have nightmares severe enough to disturb their parents. Children's nightmares may stem from listening to a scary story, a TV show or movie, feeling anxious, stressed during the day from starting school, to maybe a death in the family. Typically, most kids will grow out of them, but what happens when you become an adult? Well, they say 2 to 8% of the adult population is plagued by nightmares. Are you? We'll check in with Rosemary Ellen Guiley in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, welcome back. I was just with Rosemary Ellen Guiley this weekend at the Survival of Humanity Conference in Los Angeles, and I'm talking to you again, Rosemary.
But, George, I'm on the other side of the country tonight. I'm back on the East Coast.
You went flying. Rosemary, of course, is a noted author, Encyclopedia of Demons and Demonology, Encyclopedia of Dreams, Angels. And I wanted to bring her in for a couple hours to talk with us about nightmares. And they say that adults, 2 to 8% of the population, are plagued by nightmares. I would think, Rosemary, that is much higher. What do you think?
I would guess it's much higher, too, because we only know statistics like this based upon what people report. And if a syndrome of nightmares is disturbing enough to send someone to a doctor, that's when it gets on record. But many people have nightmares throughout the course of their lives. Sometimes it's just an infrequent occurrence. Sometimes it's a repeating thing that gets to be quite distressing, and they struggle to deal with it themselves.
What would you call a nightmare?
A nightmare technically is any dream that's disturbing to an individual, especially if they wake up in fear or terror or anxiety. And that varies by individual. We all have scary dreams from time to time where we're in frightening situations. For some people, even a little bit of anxiety in the dream is very distressing. And for others, it takes something quite dramatic. But any unsettling dream, the most common kinds of nightmares deal with being pursued, being attacked, being in danger, having to flee for safety, you know, those kinds of themes.
Rosemary, you've been looking at dreams for a long, long time. I mean, I remember interviewing you back in 1997 about dreams. How'd you get interested in that subject matter?
It actually started with my family when I was very young. My mother had a lot of precognitive dreams, and when I was an adolescent, she told me about a lot of them. They were very distressing to her, previews of people dying, and she didn't like having those kinds of dreams. But for me, it really ignited my curiosity about the dream world, the fact that we could dream real events in the future that would come to pass. Really boggled my mind and kindled my curiosity about dreams. So I began, by the time I was in high school, I had a self-study course on dreams, and I'd acquired a number of books and things about out-of-body experience. I taught myself how to go out of body, how to remotely view the future, how to deliver and send messages in dreams. And that really kindled a lifelong interest in paying attention to my dreams. It's really paid off over the years.
Now, what do you think of this? Nightmares, they say, in adults can be spontaneous, but are generally triggered by psychological factors like anxiety, depression, poor nutrition, sleep disorders. What do you think of that?
There usually is an underlying cause to nightmares, and the first cause is anxiety. There's something going on in life that has completely upset our balance during waking hours, and we carry that anxiety into the dream state. But we can also have nightmares generated by bad sleeping habits, by certain medical conditions. People who have the disorder known as sleep apnea, where they can't really get into good lengths of sleep. Medications can contribute to nightmares, many prescription medications. And in fact, you can go online and get a rather substantial list of prescription medications that are known to have side effects, including nightmares. So, as you mentioned, poor nutrition as well. And interestingly, the tendency to have nightmares sometimes does run in families, and it might relate to some physiological conditions which are inherited. If people are suffering from psychological conditions, post-traumatic stress, if they have bipolar conditions, there may be increased tendencies to nightmares.
Is there a common denominator, Rosemary, with nightmares? I mean, do people generally dream about the same kind of thing, like falling or something like that?
There are common nightmare themes in dreams for the average person, for example. And one of the most common would be falling from a great height, even falling into darkness. Another very common theme would be being pursued by an attacker. Could be a person armed with a weapon like a gun or a knife, or a monster, some hideous shape. Individuals breaking into one's home, that is, breaking into your secure zone, being vulnerable in horrible natural disaster conditions, hurricanes, tornadoes, being at risk in some sort of war, conflict, or nuclear blow-up. These are very common nightmares. There are others that also involve feeling like you're about to die or even seeing yourself dead, actually being assaulted, physically assaulted and harmed in a dream. Those are quite common in a lot of anxiety situations. And if we have something going on in life that is causing us serious distress, like, for example, a very problematic relationship, our dreaming mind is going to reflect that back to us in our dreams.
Yeah.
And sometimes dreams will escalate in terror and also in imagery as a warning system to for an individual to address these imbalances.
Well, here's a woman who said, and she was unaware, she had an allergy to shrimp. But she said, every time I ate shrimp, I had a restless night. I had horribly bad dreams. I stopped the shrimp, and now I sleep peacefully.
You know, that's an interesting account, and it does have a history of documentation. Eating certain kinds of foods will contribute to nightmares, and sometimes even just eating a big meal late at night before you go to sleep, something that disturbs your sleep cycle. But there's a story told in the vampire literature that Bram Stoker conceived the idea of Dracula.
Ooh.
After having a dinner of bad crab.
A nightmare, and he created Dracula and changed his life.
It created another nightmare.
It sure did. It sure did. Let's talk about some of the darker sides of nightmares, Rosemary, if we can. When people have them, I mean, I've known people who have, they've woken up and they've cried. They've been crying in their sleep because these nightmares were so realistic. Could you die in your sleep because of one of these things?
I'm not aware of death-causing dreams in the literature, but people do have that fear, especially if the imagery is very intense. I have collected dreams from people, as I mentioned earlier, about seeing themselves dead and lying in a coffin.
Like Lincoln did. Like Lincoln did. Abraham Lincoln.
He did. He saw, he previewed his own assassination by having a dream about the president being dead in the White House. And the dream itself didn't cause death, but that was a precognitive
dream. That's
right,
exactly.
But people do have stressful physical conditions, you know, onsets during the night. And those can be incorporated into dream imagery, but off the top of my head, I'm not aware of a syndrome of dying during a nightmare, for example.
Now, some people will have repeat nightmares. What causes that?
Usually, it's a stress going on in life that is not being resolved. For example, going back to a situation where someone is in a very problematic relationship, they may have a repeating nightmare that has the same sort of theme, being attacked in the same way, or having the same sort of violent and scary imagery in the dream. And the dream will repeat maybe infrequently at first, and then the frequency will pick up as the stress in life picks up. And then sometimes the action in the dream becomes more dramatic or more dire, and the person will wake up in terror and in great anxiety from the dream itself. When the situation in life is resolved, then those kinds of dreams usually abate and go away. It's when they don't, and no known cause can be found for them, a person really needs to see medical help to see if there are some other underlying psychological or physiological contributions.
Can you treat nightmares?
Yes, you can. And the average person who has the nightmare every now and then, it may just be a release of stress and anxiety. But you do need to pay attention to your dreams because they mirror back to you the truth about what's going on in your life. So you can kind of regulate yourself. But doctors do treat nightmare disorders, and especially if there is an underlying physiological cause, or maybe it's medication, then those things need to be monitored, need to be altered, and you really do need to do that under a doctor's care.
We're with Rosemary Ellen Guiley. Her website, visionaryliving.com. Of course, we got it linked up at coasttocoastam.com for you. When people go through this nightmare stage, and we'll get into kids in just a second, what about the possibility of, because you and I both agree there's evil out there and there's something on the other side, could those things be creating nightmares?
Yes, they do, and that's been one area of my dream work that I've followed for quite a few years. And scientists will dismiss that. They'll say, oh, those night terrors and scary images, they really don't have anything other than a natural cause. But we also have a syndrome called the old hag, for example,
yeah,
which has been documented.
Sleep paralysis, right?
Sleep paralysis, the ugly entity that comes to the bedside. Even in my shadow people research, this is it's wrapped in with nightmares where the shadow person, a dark figure in a coat and hat, comes into the bedroom in a threatening way, sometimes attacks a person, might choke or suffocate someone. And the individual is paralyzed, and there is often confusion as to whether it's a real experience or a dream. I do believe that there is an occult nightmare like this, and that intelligent entities are very aware of when we are vulnerable, and we are vulnerable especially while we sleep, and then during certain stages of sleep. There is a natural stage of sleep paralysis as we move from sleep to wakefulness and back and forth at night. And I believe that some of these entities know how to make use of that if they are going to move in on someone or even assault them.
Can we learn anything from nightmares?
Well, we certainly can. Nightmares are like this early warning system, kind of a trip warning that lets us know when we need to address things in waking life. And sometimes we have a lot of irritations, maybe situations that upset us, but we feel we can't do anything about it, but it's sufficient to cause us to internalize a lot of stress. And the dream will reflect that back to us as a way of saying, hey, you know, things are out of balance, so pay attention. What do you need to do to put your life into better harmony? So they can be very helpful to us. They can even have healing components in that regard, because they actually ask, if not even force us, to confront those situations in life that might even be tearing us apart inside.
Do you see any benefits?
Dream benefits are many, and even the nightmare. I've often told people that nightmares are really our friends because they...
Well, those are friends you can have.
Well, they bring us into a greater awareness about, you know, what's going on. It's when we're busy, and most of us are these days, and in a very fragmented way, we might have a tendency to just stuff a lot away, you know, just absorb a lot of stress. Maybe we don't have time or we're not able to deal with it. If it accumulates enough, then it's going to come back on us. So the dream is really a friendly way of keeping us on in balance.
And with children now, they say 10 to 50% of them get nightmares between the ages of 5 and 12. I would guess that might be pretty accurate, that one.
Yes, children are prone to nightmares, and it's a natural part of growing up. Children have a lot of course, security issues as they start to learn about the world. And so being chased by monsters, for example, is a very common dream in childhood, so is falling. Children will also have night terrors, where that's where they don't wake up from a bad dream, but they might scream out in their sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Flail around or even go sleepwalking.
Are night terrors like nightmares?
Well, there is a difference because in a nightmare, those usually occur during the first part of the sleeping cycle. And nightmares occur during the latter part and night terrors during the first part of the sleep cycle. And in a nightmare, people will wake up from a nightmare and usually remember the details of it. But in a night terror experience, you don't wake up, and you may not even remember having gone through that at night. But adults who have night terrors, and some do, if they have someone in bed with them, that person may be awakened by their distress.
Sure.
And they may even have a hard time waking the sleeping person up, and the person who's suffering from the night terror may not even be aware of what's going on.
People who claim that they're being abducted by extraterrestrials, generally at night, most of the time when they're in bed, let's say, are they experiencing some kind of nightmares or terrors, and they're not really being abducted, but they think they are because they dream it?
Sometimes it does get to be uncertain as to what actually took place. A lot of the abduction experiences take place during sleep, and they are only recovered through dream work or even through regression, like being hypnotized. There are dreams. People dream of aliens all the time, just as a natural part of dreaming, and there may be normal dreams where aliens create some sort of attack or abduction scenario that has more symbolic meaning. But there is this real phenomenon where the abducting entities come at night, and often if the individual has any awareness at all, they are paralyzed. And whether that paralysis comes from the natural dream state or the entities exacerbate it or cause it themselves, we don't really know.
And at what point, let's say these nightmares are stemmed by stress, frustration in your living life, if you solve those issues, will the nightmares go away?
In most cases, yes. And that certainly happened to me, for example, when I've been through very stressful periods in my life, my dreaming might take on a more troubled nature.
Hold on, Rosemary. Let's come back with you and talk more about nightmares right here on Coast to Coast AM. Well, next hour, we'll take your calls and also your stories. You can share your nightmares with us with Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and I'll be back with her in a moment as we talk more about this incredible story about nightmares. And if you're an adult, maybe you agree, maybe you don't, with only 2 to 8% are plagued by nightmares. We both think it's much higher. And before we go to Rosemary, here's a health moment from pharmacist Ben, brought to you by our friends at criticalhealthnews.com. Back with Rosemary Ellen Guiley. Your calls next hour. Rosemary, can nightmares be used beneficially?
Yes, they can. one of their benefits is that they can alert us to health problems. There are cases on record where people who have had the onset of cancer, for example, have had early warning dreams, very distressing dreams that repeat, often sending them to the doctor, and so they can discover those conditions. They can benefit us in terms of keeping our lives organized and going in the best possible direction, getting ourselves out of stressful situations, realizing that we have to get out of certain stressful situations, or it's going to be detrimental to our overall health.
Now, when people have nightmares specifically, and they run the gamut from just about every possibility, what creates the scenario, the story, the brain? How is that done?
Dreaming takes place in the brain, of course, in certain parts of the brain, and brings things up from the subconscious. If we have situations in life where we've had trauma, for example, we may relive those traumas through dreams. If we've had accidents, for example, we may redream the accident over and over again. So things are being called up from memory. And then we do need to see a doctor in those sorts of situations to find relief for that kind of stress.
Now, precognitive dreams that may sound like nightmares, are we talking about one and the same, or are they different?
It's a different kind of dream. Those are very stressful dreams, too.
They sure are.
To preview a horrible accident, many people will wake up even sweating and in terror over that.
Shaking.
When they previewed something. And then when the actual event takes place, those dreams stop. There have been some dramatic cases on record. For example, back in the 1979, there was a jumbo jet that crashed on takeoff from Chicago. And there was a man in Ohio who had had precognitive dreams for about 10 nights in a row where he...
Got his last name on the tip of my tongue because I had him on the air about 10 years ago. You're right.
And the dreams were very stressful. He woke up in increasing terror and anxiety. And then after the event happened, he knew that that was what he had been dreaming about. And it was a horrible situation for him because he felt powerless to avert the disaster.
David Booth was his name. Did you know him?
I did not know him personally. His story is well documented in the dream literature.
Yeah, you know, it sure is. I mean, he alerted the FAA. He drove them crazy. They didn't listen to him, and it happened. And he came on the air and told us about that. And I haven't had him on since because he also told me that he had had a meeting with Sister Lucia, and then he wanted to come on the show to talk about it. Then he never told us what they talked about. That interview ended pretty darn fast. Frustrating. But with these dreams, a study confirms that nightmares are associated for sure with emotions. Do blind people, and if anybody is blind and you want to call us and share that with us, let us know next hour. Do blind people have nightmares too? I assume they do.
Blind people do dream. They have been studied by scientists. Sometimes how they dream depends on when blindness occurred. If they lost their sight at some point during life, they will still dream like they did before they lost their sight. If they were blind from birth, blind people do dream. They might have other, like feelings in dreams or emotional content in dreams.
Why does it seem that death and murder are pretty predominant in nightmares?
Because death and murder are about ending life, and that's very dire. Many of our situations in life, we feel like life is ending emotionally in some way. We're being threatened at the very core of our being. Something is drastic enough that we have to take action. So one of the most common nightmares is this pursuit by a weaponized individual or monster that's going to attack us and kill us.
That might be right. You never know. You know, with these nightmares, Rosemary, that these people experience, and again, back to the precognitive ones for a moment, during 9/11, a lot of people had a dream of something very bad. A lot of people didn't know where, but they had visions of things happening. My daughter had one. She, and I've told this story, but she had a dream of walking in a downtown area of what she said Dad was a huge city. And she remembers walking in 6 inches to a foot of ash and with dust falling down on her. And we, both of us, interpreted it as a volcano somehow. But we couldn't figure out what a big city had to do with it. Maybe Seattle, who knows? And then once 9/11 happened, she said, I think that was it. The ash was everything that was falling from the buildings.
There were thousands of people after 9/11 who came forward with dreams that captured good chunks of that tragedy, including nuclear winter situations, the falling of ash through the sky, people running in panic and terror, tall buildings collapsing, even planes flying into buildings. And they all related to 9/11. Some of these dreams happened a few days before the event, some a few weeks out. Some people even previewed it months in advance.
Well, they did, but they didn't know exactly what it was it? So they couldn't really let people know.
That's one of the things about precognitive dreaming that's very vexing to people who have these dreams on a frequent basis, is that the dream doesn't contain enough information to avert the event, like the plane crash, for example. So many people raise the question, why do we have these precognitive dreams if they don't give us enough information to stop a disaster from happening? This may be part of our evolving consciousness. Perhaps in the future, we will dream much differently about future events. We'll have a much different orientation toward time. Right now, we seem to be able to glimpse pieces of it in certain circumstances.
I wonder if people in this most recent plane crash in the French Alps, I wonder if any of them had that kind of a dream the night before.
There may have been individuals who had some sort of warning dream. Something may surface along those lines later on. Back in the early 20th century, before the Titanic sailed, there were people who had disturbing dreams, not necessarily that the ship was going to hit an iceberg mm-hmm. and sink, but that something bad was going to happen if they got on the ship. And there were people who changed their plans, their travel plans, and avoided the disaster.
How do you convince yourself? How do you train yourself to recognize these signals from dreams?
You have to pay attention to your dreams on a nightly basis. The big dreams, the little dreams, the more we understand how our dreams speak to us, the language of our own dreams, then we can sort out the really important ones, and we understand the normal anxiety ones, and we can deal with those too. Dreams are bizarre to people. They seem to have a language of their own. They don't have a beginning, middle, or end. They're hard to understand. But if you apply yourself, if you take some time to work on your dreams, the language of dreams becomes very clear. And that's when we can really sort out the different kinds of dreams we have. I have done dream work all of my life, and it's been very important to me for creativity, for healing. I've even had healing in dreams. It's helped me keep my life in balance.
I'm convinced that some people have the ability to put themselves into the dreams of other people to accomplish things. You know, maybe you want to get a better job and you concentrate about this person who does the hiring. And I think you could have the ability to just interject yourself into them. What do you think of that?
There's a lot of merit to it, George. In occultism, for example, there are techniques for putting yourself or sending somebody or something into someone else's dream. There are magical techniques. If it's a negative on an attack basis, it's literally dream invasion. But we can also program our dreams to make things better for us. The dreaming mind goes beyond the time landscape and goes beyond the bounds of the physical body, beyond the consciousness that we have, and accesses all kinds of things. So we can use our dreams to perhaps influence other people in various ways by programming our dreams before we go to sleep toward a desired action, and asking our dreaming mind to help us out in that regard. This has good aspects and bad aspects, of course, because in good aspects you could be doing it for your own betterment, your own improvement. A negative aspect, you potentially could do it to manipulate someone.
So we've got a lot going on in the dream state. I mean, you've got the nightmares, precognitive type dreams, lucid dreaming, regular dreams. We've got all kinds, don't we?
Every night, it's an incredible mix of things. This is why we need to pay attention to our dreams. Even short dreams have a lot of information for us. It doesn't have to be a long, drawn-out dream with lots of action in it. When we are going through certain phases in life, we'll have certain kinds of dreams. And then as we move on into other phases of life, our dreams shift along with us. If you pay attention to your dreams, you'll find that over the course of time, you will see certain patterns in your dreams, the same themes, the same sorts of action, the same emotional feelings in the dreams. And those things can tell us a lot about what's going on inside of us as well.
Rosemary, do you think that people like Ted Bundy and Jeffrey Dahmer, serial killers, do you think they had nightmares? Is there any case history of that?
I'm not certain, George. I'm not aware of the dreaming life of a serial killer.
Of a serial killer. That's not a bad book for you, by the way.
It would be interesting to research, because individuals who commit horrible crimes like that, how could they not have some sort of nightmares as a result of that?
I wrote the book Talking to the Dead with Rosemary Ellen Guiley some time ago, and it's still out there on the shelves. Are you still getting comments about that?
I am, George, and in fact, I had it at my table over the weekend. I always have it with me. I've gotten a lot of comments. People have enjoyed the book, learned a lot from it. It covers the history of how we have attempted to communicate with the dead, especially through technology. And as you know, as we say in the book, the day will come when we will be able to have reliable contact with the dead, irrefutable.
That's going to be an exciting moment, isn't it?
It certainly stands to create a lot of upset, however.
It is
going to be exciting, because we've been striving for this for a very long time. It's one of the biggest questions that human beings have always had. Is there survival after death, and what happens? But when we have that proof, if the evidence does not support some of our cherished beliefs, some of our religious teachings, then we have some serious things to deal with.
Why does it seem that in the death state and in the dream state, those who have passed on visit us in dreams?
There do seem to be conditions that are right for this bridge to take place, where an individual crosses over from the afterlife to have a reunion meeting with someone who is still living. And that visit will most often take place in dreams. There is something about that state of consciousness, that unboundedness, that enables this bridge to form. And even the ancients knew it. Plato called dreams the between state, a place where we could go to meet the gods, literally, in ways that we could not do during waking consciousness. When the dead have these reunions, sometimes they will make comments like, "It took a great deal of effort to do this. I have a very short time, so we must be very brief and to the point, and then I must return." They don't actually say exactly what it is that they had to do to get there, but other individuals from the other side who have communicated with researchers say that there has to be an energy from the other side, as well as kind of like a USB port to connect to on this side, And those conditions have to be right. We can ask for dream visits from the dead and incubate, you know, program our dreaming mind at sleep to invite the dead to come. But if the conditions are not right, we may not get the dream. And that's very frustrating to individuals who'd really like to have that kind of final connection with a deceased loved one. And we still have a great deal to learn about how consciousness works. And it may not have anything to do with worthiness or interest in the part of the dead, punishment or reward. It just may be conditions that we don't fully understand.
Dramatic work that you do, Rosemary. And, of course, your website, visionaryliving.com, I give out to a lot of people who need questions answered about the dream state specifically.
I do have information on the website about how to interpret dreams, and I do have several books out on dreams. My newest one is called Dreamwork for Visionary Living, where I talk about the spiritual and psychic aspects of dreams and how we can use them in a proactive way to lead healthier, happier lives.
Should people be afraid of dreaming?
Absolutely not. Many people are, because dreams seem to be bizarre, or if they are prone to have upsetting dreams, they can even become afraid to sleep at night. And that's unfortunate, because our dreams really mirror truth to us. They tell us exactly how we feel we're doing in life and about situations that we need to fix. But we can also have very uplifting dreams. We can have dreams where we come into a feeling of direct contact with God, where we are infused with incredible love and light, and we're uplifted. We can have meetings with angels, spiritual teachers. We can even be initiated in dreams.
We're going to come back and take phone calls and your nightmare dreams next.